Welcome to Dietitians Uncorked, a podcast hosted by Kat and Kelly, two registered dietitians who co-founded Nutriving, a virtual nutrition practice. We talk all things food, nutrition, life, and of course, wine. This is a judgment-free zone where all foods fit and all bodies are welcome. Thanks for listening.
Welcome back, everyone. Kat and I are back from a little summer vacation, and we are so excited to be recording podcast episodes again, and very honored and happy that you are here with us today for another episode, so welcome back. Before we dive into topic, we just wanted to let you guys know Kat and I have been working super hard behind the scenes. We've been really busy with one-on-one patients as well as our group program, which is starting to get rolling. We've gotten some really great feedback. So if you're not familiar, it's called Nourished and Empowered. It's a three-month virtual group program that's kind of a hybrid between online education, really supportive community, tons of great resources. You have a live monthly Zoom call with Kat and I. So it's a great price point. We still have it priced at $59 per month, which, you know, in the grand scheme of things, isn't too much. So if you are looking for nutrition help, but maybe, you know, aren't in the market for like one-on-one because that can be a little bit pricey, this is a really great intermediate option, and we are here for you for whatever level of support that you need. We'll work with you to get you what you're looking for. With that being said, Kat, I know we have a really good topic today. Do you want to tell our friends about it?
Yes. And hello, everyone. I also want to tell you what I'm drinking.
Oh, is that drinks. Okay? Can I do that? Yeah, I got out of the rhythm. Thank you.
You're welcome. We have to tell the peeps.
Yeah.
I'm drinking a wine. It's called Starry Night. It's a Syrah. It's actually really interesting. I loved it. What's interesting to me about this wine is that it tastes a little bit like tar, but in the best way possible. I don't know how I can really explain what's going on with this bottle of wine, but it's surprisingly like, I don't know, there's an acidity there, there's a vanilla, but there's like a distinct tar even smell. It's delicious though. So if you ever can give it a try, I highly recommend it.
Interesting. That's a really good name for a wine.
Yeah.
I have a Pinot Noir that I'm really loving. It's called Cameron Hughes. It's from Lot 678. It's an Oregon Pinot Noir. It's really good. A guy from, I don't know how many times I have to say Binnie's on these podcasts until they like sponsor us, but I got it from Binnie's. Yes. And I love going there because they'll like give you recommendations, you know, if you're open to it. And I have never been steered wrong. So this came from one of my friends at Binnie's. It was like $16, I want to say. So pretty affordable, really good. I'm not into Pinot Noirs in like the winter, but I really enjoy them in the warmer months. It's a good red option, you know, because it's a little lighter. Yeah. That's really good.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So this episode is a little bit, less, I guess, structured because we were having this discussion the other day and it seemed like, gosh, we need to talk about this in podcast. Especially if you have been following us for a little bit, you kind of know our spiel when it comes to nutrition. We're anti-diet. We really don't believe in the overt restriction. We don't believe that nutrition has something to do directly with how you look and how if you are eating this way, you're going to look like this, or really kind of are pretty open about the pressure that society has over people's bodies and how there's so much shame involved in this area. And we really like to celebrate food. We like to celebrate what food can do for us in such a powerful way. And part of being kind of this type of dietitian, maybe an intuitive eater kind of fan or a mindfulness kind of dietitian, it opens up a space in the social media world where we are following and engaging with other dietitians and even other interdisciplinary team members of like different practices or whatnot that might we might sort of believe in the same philosophy when it comes to nutrition. I had this thing happen to me the other day that it sort of gave me a pause, made me think a lot about this. Kelly and I are not good at posting on social media, hence our social media platform on Instagram. Not our jam. We're trying though, because we do want to engage with more people. And I think that's it's a good way of meeting people. However, I was having a conversation with somebody, and in the intuitive eating, food freedom, social media space, there are a lot of dietitians who are taking this approach of showing kind of eating things that quote unquote are not super healthy or nutrient dense, or things that are more mainstream, and trying to teach people how not to be afraid of eating more processed foods really in general, or having a less judgmental approach to what you're eating. Mm-hmm. And I think it's an interesting sort of contrast between the picture of a dietitian eating an apple or while having like celery on her hand. And these are dietitians showing up with ice cream and cookies and, you know, Doritos. It's cool. However, I had a client tell me the other day, we were working on making more intentionally healthy choices. There are some signs of chronic disease in development at this point. This is a patient of mine who is doing awesome at identifying kind of the things that sort of steer her away from having more healthy habits into her eating patterns. She's somebody who is trying really hard to find a way to take care of her body by eating things that are more nutrient dense. This is something Kelly and I called nutrition self-care. She is really trying to do this, and I am trying to be her biggest cheerleader along this way. Mm-hmm. And she said sort of, you know, I like this intuitive eating approach. I like the positive message. I understand and I share some of these philosophies. I'm starting to understand how the diet culture can be very toxic in the way that it's presented. But it is very difficult for me to log on to my social media platform, and I'm following some of these dietitians and seeing them eat things that I used to be eating all the time and are actually causing me harm. Like they're foods that might not be super nutrient dense that might have gotten me to the place where I'm at now to work with you. And so it's hard for me to continue to feel like following these accounts are doing good to me, are you know, helping me be more intentional about the foods I'm eating. And it sort of I had this moment of like, oh man, are we doing the same thing that the other side is doing? Like, how dietitians show up on social media can really have a lot of impact. And I thought that could be a good place to restart our podcast and talk about it. What do you think, Kelly?
Yeah, I think definitely a good place, because likely a lot of our listeners, you know, may follow us on social media, but definitely, you know, other dietitians, healthcare professionals. These days it's tough to have a business without having a social media presence, even if you don't, you know, love it or go on it, use it as much as other companies or other health practitioners. The fact is that, you know, almost 2023 at this point, and you have to have social media, right? So a lot of us are familiar with, you know, following accounts who give advice or information. We'll try our best to like stick to the health space, right? The nutrition space. Obviously this could be applied to a lot of spaces, but I think one of the hardest things from like a healthcare perspective, like a provider perspective, when you're using social media, you're speaking to so many people at once, right? Mm-hmm. So mm-hmm. You can't possibly it's not an individualized approach, right? So if you're following someone, especially when you start to like someone and you start to trust someone, a dietitian on Instagram or Twitter, whatever, when you develop that trust and you like them, which is great, right? It's good to find people who you start to develop that with. But I think sometimes what we run into is that because you have that trust, you put a lot of faith into what they say. And then sometimes we can kind of forget, like, oh, they're not just talking to me, right? They don't know my medical history and what my goals are and what my concerns are. And how could they, right? It's not a one-on-one setting. But I think sometimes that just happens, right? When you feel connected to someone, you're like, oh, this is great advice, which might be true for some people, but it's impossible to give an individualized message on social media. And as well-intentioned as dietitians and other healthcare professionals might be, that gets really tricky because you want to deliver a message that's going to hit home for a lot of people, but it cannot possibly hit home for everyone all the time.
Yeah. Yeah. And I mean, I don't think that that's hitting home for everyone all the time. That's impossible. That's a goal that's just, you know, unachievable. What's interesting about what dietitians, and I will take, first, I think this is a complex situation because I will take the dietitian side a little bit first, that the intention behind this, and some of these dietitians I follow and admire as well, is to dispel this sort of fear-mongering that exists in diet culture for foods. It's sort of like you eat one French fries and you're going to be obese tomorrow. You know, it's like this, like, if people are afraid of eating. Sometimes they're afraid of going to the grocery store. And many times I've had so many clients tell me, I bought this and then I didn't know whether it was good, so I threw it away, and I bought this and then I didn't know if it was good, so I just gave it to somebody else. And then, you know, there's so much confusion. And I think the point of this food freedom dietitians is, hey, listen, you don't have to be afraid. You don't have to feel shame about craving Oreos. Eat the freaking Oreos. It is better to have a more balanced approach to food, everything in moderation, kind of, or having a better non-guilty or shame-ridden relationship with your food choices. Whichever way you want to present that, that is the intention. The intention is, hey, listen, we don't need to be afraid. It does not need to be this emotionally charged relationship. However, as a client side, you do look to dietitians for inspiration, right? You look for them to be examples. And in a way, they're being examples of like, hey, this is what food freedom looks like. It looks like a dietitian eating ice cream. But as a client who's trying to maybe improve her eating choices, I can understand as well the sort of struggle to really sit with that. And I think with this client in particular, we've talked about food rules. We've talked about, you know, these things. So it's something we're working together to just sort of feel less triggered around food and have a more open conversation. But I think to her point is sort of like, I want to be able to be in a space where I feel like other people are working just as hard as I am to take care of their bodies, to take care of my body, you know? And that's where this is being extra hard for her.
Mm-hmm. I think that when you feel that coming up as a person consuming social media, that's just a good moment, right? A good reminder to, you know, maybe step back for a little bit, maybe look at your feed and make sure it's, you know, diversified. Not that anyone's doing anything, you know, wrong or malicious in a sense, but it's good to have a variety of sources, right? And different messages. And sometimes on different chapters in your journey, so to speak, you need different types of support depending on what's going on. And so this example that you're talking about, it sounds like it's kind of one of those things, right? It's an example of where the message that you're getting isn't exactly what you were looking for, like at that specific time, but it doesn't mean that that message won't be helpful in the future or that it wasn't helpful in the past, right? Like, we need different types of support as we go through things because, you know, it's up and down, right? It's not like a linear journey.
Yeah. And to that point, I think with when it comes to different nutrition philosophies, this is where we need to be more supportive as dietitians of one another's work. Because just because you have somebody who is teaching portion size and how to read nutrition labels and understand portion size does not mean that they're planting seeds of fear and, you know, overt restriction or, you know, a negative relationship with food. It's actually quite an important tool to have if you're somebody who's having to watch a specific nutrient or a specific aspect of your diet for your own nutritional self-care. And on the other side, if there's a dietitian who's eating ice cream and she's sharing about, you know, I'm craving ice cream and it's been really good to have some ice cream, for the other side that is, you know, talking about other aspects, not to be supportive of that, because that's what a lot of people are needing these days, is kind of dismantling the diet culture, or at least providing some insight into what food freedom might look like.
Yeah. Absolutely. I mean, nutrition, like, our field is so vast. Like, there's so many different things that dietitians can do, like so many roles that they can play in philosophies, you know, medical conditions. And just, I guess, as like a, I don't know, behind the scenes look, something I always think about, you know, Kat and I went to school for nutrition. Like, we didn't go to school for business or marketing or anything like that. But through starting our business, Nutriving, we had to learn a lot, like, really quickly. And a lot of the advice that's out there, which makes sense from a marketing perspective, is that, like, if you're talking to everyone, you're talking to no one. And so what that tells people, practitioners, is that you really need to, like, there's a lot of pressure to, like, hone your message and, like, figure out your niche and find your people on social media or just in the world in person. And when that happens, you know, sometimes you're blocking out other things to focus on your message so that you're reaching, like, a very targeted audience. But of course, there's so much nuance with nutrition, and especially, like, working one-on-one with someone. So I don't know. Does that make sense? I feel like that's just like a, it's good to remember that just because an account might be posting these specific messages, it does not mean that, like, that's the only thing that they believe in or anything like that. It just, you know, that's their current approach to their business, which there's nothing wrong with that. As you said, like, there, we have to support all types of dietitians. Like, there's different types of dietitians for a reason, because different people have different needs, and us collectively, like, we help serve people, right? If we all did the same thing with the same bent, that wouldn't be helpful.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Do you follow dietitians from various nutrition philosophies? Like, when you're feed, do you follow kind of a spectrum of potentially different nutrition philosophies?
I would say yes. I don't pay attention to the feed as much as I used to. When we first started our business, I was very honed in on it. But yes, definitely trying to follow dietitians from different, you know, sub-disciplines. Because it's good to see what different types of dietitians are doing, you know. So following an intuitive eating dietitian, following a chronic kidney disease dietitian, there's dietitians that specialize in, you know, heart disease, diabetes, all of that. It's good for us to see that range of messages, I think it's good for consumers as well, especially because many times if you have one of those conditions, it might be that you're at risk for other conditions or you have a family history of other conditions. So if that's what you're looking for on social media, I think it's good to diversify your feed. But that being said, the drawback is like that information overload, right? And the like potentially conflicting viewpoints. And that's the space that sometimes I think clients can, they get really confused because it is overwhelming. Like it's incredibly overwhelming.
Yeah. Yeah.
What would you say?
Have you ever had a moment? Well, I'm curious to know if you've had a moment where you're like looking through your feed and you just, like have a, I don't want to use the word trigger because that sounds like you're having like a trauma response, but I'm talking about like, do you ever have like a moment of like, ugh, frustration or like something, it hit something within you in the moment of scrolling? Do you get what I'm asking?
Yeah, I do. Nothing, I mean, I'm sure I have. I can't remember a specific time, but I have, you know, followed a lot of intuitive eating dietitians at this point, and the story that you started this episode with, I have heard similar things from past clients. Like, I get it, because a lot of our clients, you know, may, like, they just got diagnosed with diabetes, or they just got diagnosed with prediabetes, or hypertension, or they just had a heart attack. Like, all of these really life-changing events. And they're just trying to like figure things out. And that's a really, that's like a scary, vulnerable place to be in. And so just like consuming social media after something like that is like, that's triggering for anyone going through that. And so I think what sticks out to me is like working with clients who just got a diagnosis like that. And they just feel like confused and like, oh my God, I'm never going to be able to do this. Like, I don't know what I'm supposed to eat. Like, help me, you know. And I think hearing that perspective, and I know so many people turn to social media for information and advice because there's a lot of it out there, but when it comes to medical conditions, most of the time I would say it's preferable, right? If you can work with someone one-on-one, you know, a doctor, dietitian, trusted healthcare provider, one-on-one group program, whatever it is, just something to get kind of more individualized advice when you're in that space, like that scary space. I don't think I answered your question, but that's where my head's at.
I know. Yeah. I love it. I think for me, it's like, this has happened and I have had time to think a little bit about this because with my client having this discussion, I just, I remember having that response with both sides of, you know, the dietetic message. Like I was randomly scrolling. I don't know how I got this. My brother sends me these like really insane, funny videos that are just over the top. And sometimes I will continue scrolling because they have similar videos. And I landed on somebody being like, what is the difference if you eat a cup of Doritos in a cup of strawberries? And it was the most ridiculous comparison. Like, obviously we're talking about different things. I don't know what the point. Well, I know what the point of the thing was. It was to make people feel bad for eating Doritos or whatever, not whatever it was. It was like chips of some form. I don't know. And it was sort of this like, I'm better than you because I don't eat this kind of approach. Like, I, you know, this is why I only have strawberries and blah. And it was a real kind of like this moral superior approach to nutrition. And it really just, oh, I was so angry. It made me angry to see that because, we've had conversations with people that, you know, if you're a mom and your kid's really hungry and you happen to just, you have to stop by the gas station. That's the only place you're going to stop from here in 2 hours. You're traveling, you have your kids and your kids really want Doritos and, you know, your kid's been really good and whatever. You give them Doritos and then you watch a video like this. I mean, We're making people feel guilty for eating and anyway, I didn't like the moral authority on food approach in that. Mm-hmm. But I have also been on the other side of watching somebody, a dietitian, talk about the foods she craves when she's snacking at night or something. And it was all sort of like more processed foods, more like less nutrient dense. And she's just eating happily and showing how happy she can be. And it triggered sort of a memory of somebody who did not look like this dietitian, was not thin, had some chronic disease problems. And she was sort of saying, like, you know, I'm not like you. I eat one carrot and I gained 20 pounds or something like that. It was the conversation. And it reminded me that it made me angry. Like, what? You can eat all this stuff and it's not going to affect your body, but some other people, you know, may have a different reality, a different experience by eating these foods. Like, and again, I understand the approach there. They're trying to remove the fear from certain foods and give way for a better relationship. But I also can empathize with that frustration from a consumer standpoint. So mm-hmm. It's interesting that, you know, we're probably never going to get it perfectly right. Yeah. There's probably never going to be an account that we're like, they do it perfectly. Nailed it. Okay. Yeah. To, you know, talk about a very complex perspective mm-hmm. when it comes to nutrition and give it to you in one of these like 30-second videos on Instagram yeah. every day. But yeah, it's hard to do this kind of work from a perspective of a lot of compassion, mm-hmm. also a lot of knowledge when it comes to food, without instilling fear or shame, but also providing content that feels useful and practical and non-judgmental. Gosh, that's just such a difficult line to walk.
Yeah, it really is. And if you're listening to this, I think what Kat and I, like, this is a really interesting topic. I feel like we could go on for much longer than we will today. But, you know, something to just remember, like, everyone who's creating content, like, they're all human, right? And we're all yeah. figuring out this space. And some people are more comfortable posting on social media than other people. Some people are more experienced with it. Some people have entire teams, like, helping them. And others of us are holding our phone in front of our faces, trying to make sure yes. it's level. Like, there's a wide range. And mm-hmm. I think most dietitians, most healthcare professionals are absolutely, like, have the best of intentions and they're trying their best, but it mm-hmm. is a really complicated space. And there's a lot of nuance. And a lot of times with social media, like, you know that people are scrolling really quickly. You have like 2 seconds to capture their attention. So you're trying to create things that are going to capture attention for the uh-huh. purpose of, mm-hmm. you know, getting your message across and helping people and whatever your business goals are. But that's just, it's a tough line to walk. And I think it's a good reminder when you see a message that might not like jive with you at that moment that, you know, that's okay. Like, there are other messages out there and it doesn't mean that you're wrong or that person's wrong. It's just, you know, wasn't a good match at that time. But that's something that we constantly have to remember on social media. Like, it doesn't come easy for most of us, you know, because it just, yeah. you get sucked in, right, to the scrolling. And I think sometimes our reasoning just kind of goes out the window when you're in a scroll yes. fest, you know?
Yeah, yeah. And to the point that we're making, you know, I don't think anyone is intentionally trying to cause harm or complicated feelings. Yeah. And if they are, you know, hopefully they get what they deserve at the end, as far as followers goes and using that kind of tactic for social media presence. But If you're somebody who, like, is getting into the intuitive eating and is really enjoying the intuitive eating movement or dietitians and practitioners on Instagram or, you know, TikTok or whatever, like, that's awesome. That's fantastic. I think you found something that speaks to you in a positive way that sort of brings some hope into the world of nutrition and all that. If you're somebody who goes there and it's not a place of, not a source of actual happy moments, it actually kind of causes you pause. It makes you feel more confused or whatnot. You know, that's not the space for you right now. And that's fine. I think that we all need different things at different times in our lives. And that is okay. And so leaving kind of, we wanted to encourage people to find what works for you in your time of life in nutrition. If this podcast is encouraging for you to find peace in the area of nutrition or find some knowledge or whatever it is that you're looking for, if we're those people, awesome. If we are not those people, you know, come back later. Try us a different time. Mm-hmm. But I think it's okay to prioritize our own mental health, our own nutrition self-care journey. And that's 100% okay to unfollow dietitians, even if they have a lot of credentials and they're very influential and all that. You know, not for you. Totally fine.
Yeah. Also, you know, okay to, like, if you're working with a dietitian or any healthcare professional and it's just, and you're not kind of like getting what you want, I encourage people. I know it can be really scary, but most healthcare practitioners, like, they want the best for you. And so they have, like Kat and I, we have a list of referral partners who we would turn to if, mm-hmm. you know, mm-hmm. we're not able to help the patient fully or the patient needs like X, Y, or Z that we don't provide, then we're there for you, you know? So I think feeling empowered enough to like speak up, and I guess this isn't related to social media necessarily, but when you're working with someone, like, feel free to ask for referrals, you know, if it's outside of their specialty, totally cool. Cause most of us want the best for you. And if we can't give you that, we know someone who can, you know, it's a big world. There's a lot of people out there who can help.
Yeah. Lots of nutritional fish in the nutrition sea.
There you go. That's a good ending.
As always, thank you so much for tuning in. We are back. And we're very excited we're back. Our episodes are going to come out bi-weekly. And so tune in every other week for Dietitians Uncorked. If you would love for us to cover a specific topic, reach out to us. We are on social media, speaking of which. We're on Facebook. And also you can comment on our website, newtribing.com. So anyway, wonderful to see you, friends. We will catch up in 2 weeks.
See you.
Yeah. Bye.